Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 13. And I know some of you people think, man, I got a smile. People want to see your smile. It's inviting. Amen. Matthew chapter 13 tonight. We're going to be in verses number 47 through verse number 50. I am doing a little series, probably about 3 weeks long. I don't know if I'm going to do this next Sunday night, because next Sunday night, a majority of us are going to be gone. You're going to be in camp or going to be on the road, and there's only going to be a few left behind here. So I might take a break next week, but still, regardless of that, I wanted to start this series, and I titled this Hooked. And we're going to be focusing on three things, and we're going to share with you one of those tonight. Let's begin reading in verse number 47 down through verse number 50. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray. Lord, again, we are grateful that we're able to be here tonight. We thank you for what we have already heard this morning. Thank you for Pastor's message this morning. I can't thank you enough for how you are working in his life and still having that desire, as he says, Lord, to have messages to deliver to your people. Lord, it doesn't have to be 35, 40 minutes long. Lord, these 15, 20-minute messages are right to the point, and that's what we need. And thank you for the reminder, not only through song this morning that was sung for a special, but Lord, even through the message, how good you are. No matter the circumstances that we're going through, we can focus on those things and we can feel defeated and we can feel worthless. We can feel as if there's no way out, but we know that through it all, God's been good. And we thank you for that. And we love you tonight again because you first loved us. In your name, amen. Well, it is good to be here. We're going to call this Hooked. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the kingdom net. And so we're going to take a few weeks to look at this. The focus is going to be to show us the importance of not just filling our nets, but filling the kingdom net. The second week, I'm going to give you just a little bit of hint what we're going to be focused on. The second week, we'll focus on who to follow. We got to follow somebody, right? And who we're going to follow, that's going to be Jesus Christ. And then the third week, we're going to focus on going to the ends of the earth. And we're going to have hopefully a lot of fun with this. Without a doubt, when you use the word fishing, a majority of men's ears perk up. I mean, it's just like you got their attention right away. And we've all probably been fishing at some point in time in our life, whether it's been with our grandfather or our father or even our siblings. We've been there. We've had some good times. And we all have come away with some good fishing stories. And we've come away with something that we can brag about. We've come away with some stories that we shouldn't brag about. But that's the fact of the matter. We do these things. And I look forward to having that time of bonding as you're on the lake, the shores, wherever you're at fishing. It's just a great time. So men enjoy the thrill of catching a fish. And so do a majority of women as well. They enjoy catching a fish. I'm going to throw something out to you that you might find very astounding. In the United States alone, we spend around $45 billion a year in the fishing industry. $45 billion, think about that. That is a lot of money. In the state of Texas, in the state of Florida, and in the state of California, those three states alone almost have about $4.2 billion. Spent in fishing, and rightfully so, because they are bigger states, they have more fishing spots, they have the seas around them as well, and so they spend that much money. It isn't very hard, as you begin to think about this, to spend that money when it comes to fishing, because when it comes to fishing, you want to find and you want to buy the right equipment for the type of fish that you're going for. We're not talking fishing with a net right now. We're talking about going out, you're going to buy a rod and reel, and you're going to buy some lures and some jigs, and you're going to buy those things, and you're going to cast those out, and you're doing that for one specific fish. I have seen rods, I kid you not, I've seen rods, and I've seen reels that sell up, you ready for this, to about $10,000 a piece. Some men have some money wrapped up in their equipment, and they do this because of where they're going fishing. Some will even spend more on getting the right boat, so you can add, those costs will continue to add up. I've seen boats go from $10,000 all the way up to $50,000. And I'm not talking about yachts. I'm just talking about simple little fishing boats, bass boats, whatever you want to call those things. And many men and many women will put themselves in great debt to go out and to be able to enjoy a sport that they love doing. But we all go to any extreme and will have any cost, we'll spend anything to enjoy the pleasures of this world. In fact, I will say this, I know parents, and I'm not talking just about fishing here, I'm going to shift here just a little bit, I'm not going to dwell on it too long. I know parents who have their kids in sports, and with the sports today, they travel quite frequently. And as they begin to travel, some parents will spend an average of $20,000 a year. You think about that. That's an investment that they're putting towards their kids. That's a lot of cost. Now, you take our inflation today at 8.5%, and you take our gas, that's almost $6 a gallon. You take our hotel rates. So I heard our hotel rates went up 42.5%. In this past year, costs have gone up. So just imagine $20,000 now being $26,000, $27,000 in those costs. And so we'll go to any extreme to fulfill our pleasures that we desire to do. But all of this is done to fulfill not God's pleasures, but this is done to fulfill our earthly pleasures. And by the way, let me say this, I have nothing against those things. I enjoy fishing. I think it's a good time for any man to get out there and just to get away from some things and just to be able to think a little bit more clear as his mind's on the catching some fish. I have nothing against sport. I love sports. I enjoy playing basketball. I enjoy playing golf now more than I ever have in my life. So I'm not against those things. So I want you to understand that. But what I am against when it comes to those things, when it takes you away from the house of God, that's what I'm against. Think about this. You know that I'm supposed to be here preaching this morning and preaching tonight and Wednesday night. But how would you feel if for some reason you found out I'm on the golf course just here south of town when it comes to service time? You'd be a little bit upset, wouldn't you? Well, yeah, because I'm putting my pleasures, I'm putting my needs above God's. And so I do have a problem when it takes us away from the house of God. When you think about it, we don't get trophies in heaven when it comes to catching the biggest fish. We don't get trophies in heaven when it comes to the home run that was hit at a baseball game. We don't get trophies in heaven when it comes to the touchdowns that won the football game. We don't get trophy for those things. But we do get trophies, we do get awards for something else. And what is that? That award that we get in heaven is an award when we go out and when we begin to win souls for Christ. That's what we get our awards for. That is something that every believer should be striving to live for. And that's something that will go down into eternity. We'll forget about the fish, we'll forget about the home runs, we'll forget about the touchdowns. But we won't forget about the soul that was on its way to hell, and we had an impact in their life, and were able to give them the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and they were able to see their sin and what their sin was doing to them, and they were able to call upon God Almighty to save their soul, and now because of that, they're in the presence of the Lord with you as well. and you will receive an award for that. The great thing about that is you receive that award, here's what we're going to do. Naturally, we like to get our awards, do we not, and put them on display. Some of those things will collect dust for months. Some of them will collect dust for years. But here's an award that we will not put on our shelves. We will give those back to God. Why? Because we don't deserve them. We realize God deserves them more than we do. So the award that we will receive will be the souls that we have won to Christ while on earth. Unfortunately, those achievements that we have been talking about here recently are off in the distance for some because it hasn't even been on your radar. You haven't even focused upon it. You haven't even gone out of your way to be a witness to somebody. So those achievements are off in the distance, mainly because maybe we haven't trained for it, maybe because we haven't prepared ourselves to go in and to be able to give somebody the message of Jesus Christ. Those achievements are off in a distance. Why? Because we're focused on other types of fishing. We're not focused on fishing for men, for God. We're focused on other types of fishing. There are probably many people who will enter into heaven, think about this, with a net that has never been opened. Upon your salvation, when Jesus saves you, you have a whole different outlook in life. And that outlook in life should be, hey, now that my soul's been saved, now I need to shift focus onto somebody else. And I know that we don't pass this out, but there is a net that is given to you so that you can go out and that you can gather every man, woman, and child that you come in contact with. But unfortunately, some will enter into heaven never opening that gift. Sure, there might be some great preachers, there might be some great teachers out there, some great evangelists who have never won any souls because they never opened up their net. And so we need to open up the net that God has given us so that we can bring people with us to heaven. Amen to that. But unfortunately, it's still in the package. Here's your gift for accepting Jesus Christ. Here's your package. Here's your Bible. Here's how you need to live your life. Here's your discipleship book. And by the way, here's your net that you need to go out and distribute. But some of those things are just left in the gift basket. I hope through this series that through this, that our eyes will be open to the fishing that God has called us to. Hopefully, we all can examine what our true motives are. And does it show, when it comes to our true motives, that we are fishing not for ourselves, but we are fishing for Jesus? A net has been given to us, and we need to go out into this world and get as many fish as possible. The last few months, I have watched a show about Texas game wardens, and some of you folks probably know what I'm talking about here. And I get lost in those shows because and I'm not talking about what's going on here. I'm not talking about that type of lost. I become involved with how they handle things and what they're up against on a daily basis. And I've learned a lot from these things as I'm going through this. But I've noticed when it comes to fishing, if the fishermen don't follow the rules, here's what takes place. They will throw back what they caught back into the water. They're not allowed to take it home with them. Why? Because they're fishing illegally. And most of the times, they're fishing without a license. I will tell you this tonight. If you're a child of God, you have a fishing license. And it doesn't expire. It's a lifetime license. And it's a license that we have to put to use. I will say this. As they're throwing their fish back because they're fishing illegally, we need to learn how to fish, folks. Amen? We need to get off of our hind end and go out there and fish. So as I look through this, some will also use a net. A few weeks ago, Jeff and I were able to see the skill of a person using a net from a boat. Now, some people do it differently. Some will get a net and they'll throw it out to the water. Some will get a big net and they'll drag it behind the boat and they'll do a big circle and they'll let that sit there for a while and then they'll come back and begin to drag it up on the boat. And as they drag it up onto the boat, sometimes fish will come in there. I saw this gentleman. He's a cool little guy and had a lot of energy with him, didn't he? He had a lot of energy. And he did something else towards the end that I didn't really care for. He got us all involved in a little Jewish dance. And if you want to have something to laugh about, you should have seen Jeff and I doing this thing. But anyway, he wanted to demonstrate to us as we're out on the Sea of Galilee what it was like back in that time as they're fishing with nets. And so he threw this thing out there, and I was waiting with anticipation. I don't know how you were waiting, but I was just like, man, I hope that he's able to bring some fish up. But as he threw that out there, I mean, he just let it go down. He didn't really let it sit there for a while, but he brought that thing back up, and it was empty. But I was hoping that the net would have been full, but it was not. Verse number 47, it talks about how heaven is like a net, and it's cast into the sea. This heavenly net was wanting to catch everything that came near it. There wasn't a person that was going to be left out. This net was designed specifically for what? To catch the souls of man. That's what it was designed to do. Jesus, being the greatest angler of all time, knew that every soul was precious to him. But he also knew not every fish or every soul wanted to be with him. This net also had some other designs with it. It would go into some of the scariest places. I don't know if you folks have been out on sea. I haven't had the privilege to. I've been in the ocean, but just in the Gulf part of it. I've never been far out like a lot of people have. But I do know the depths of the ocean are just insane. I seen a free diver just the other day. He dove, I believe, 437 meters. And I watched him as he began to go down into the water. The light was right there. You can see people around him still as he's just beginning to descend into the depths of the water. The further on he went down, the darker it became. Do you know Jesus designed his net to go into the darkest places? Places that you and I will not even think about going to. Why? Because every soul is precious to him. Every person that he created is precious. Not only would he go into the scariest places, not only would it go into the darkest places, but he would also go into the places that would seem unreachable. Do you realize tonight, you and I, we put limits on God without realizing it? We truly do. We don't go to places because we don't think God's going to work. We don't think God's going to bless. But God reaches the places that seem unreachable to us. And with that being said, you and I, we must be willing to go to those scary places, to go to those dark places, to go to those places that might seem unreachable at times. And remember, we're not using our own personal net, we're using the heavenly net that God designed for this purpose. And he's allowed us to be a part in this. So when fishermen use a net, when they drag it to the shore, here's what happens, because I've seen this take place many times. They will separate, as it says in Scripture, the good from the bad. As a fisherman, when they cast that net out, they will obviously have some fish in there, but there's some rules that apply to these things. Some fish have to be a certain length. And if they're not the certain length, then they got to throw them back. Not only is that the same with fish, but it's the same with the crab. And so there's some work that takes place. And so as that net's drawn from the shore, they will separate the good, or we should say the legal from the illegal. But here, I want us to focus on something. There would be some legal fish, and there would be some illegal fish. Even though they were caught legally, the fishermen would have to release them. This also is very, when you think about this, as a fisherman, especially when this is your livelihood, when you catch an abundance of fish and you have nothing but illegal ones on there, you got to throw them back. And this discourages them. The same would be done for the kingdom net. When Jesus cast it down, I want to paint a picture for you. When Jesus cast this heavenly net down from the shores of heaven into the seas of the earth, and when that net was dragged back, here's what would have to take place. He too would have to do some separating. This fisherman separates the good from the bad, but here is a different picture. Jesus separates the wicked from the just. We see in Scripture that the angels take part in this. I want you to look at a word here. It's found in verse number 49. It says, "So shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." Look at the word sever. It literally means to divide by a few processes. One, by cutting. Two, by slicing. Or three, with sudden force. They would come and sever. But it also has a different meaning as well. It also means to put an end to break off a relationship. It sounds strange, yes, but Jesus has persuaded every person on earth to have a relationship with them. That's been his whole goal as he came forth into this world, to have a relationship with the people of this world. But unfortunately, not everybody seeks to have a relationship with God. We see that in lives all around us. We work with them. We go to the grocery stores with them. They're at the ball games. We see them everywhere. Not everybody desires to have a relationship with him, but he desires to have a relationship with him. He even says so because he created this net to catch them. Jesus creates a very real picture of what is going to happen to the just and the wicked. Here's what takes place. The just are set aside where? They're set aside into his arms of safety. So, on the 25th of April, 1986, Jesus caught me. And now, when it comes time for that separation, I'm not going to be among the wicked. Because of his blood shed for me, he now sees me as righteous. He now sees me as good. And now he sets me aside. He takes us away from the wicked. And now we're placed into his arms of safety. And as we're placed into his arms of safety, there will be no harm that will come our way. I'm thankful for that. Why won't there be any harm come our way as we're separated? For this reason. Because of his grace and mercy. At that point in time, we're experiencing his grace and mercy. And not only just then, but we experience his grace and mercy even before then. And I hope you realize those things. The wicked, however, will face a future that only consists of one thing. And what is that? That one thing will consist of eternal torment. The just will live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. That is our future home. We have been caught by the net. We have been captured to safety. And from being captured to safety, he has placed us in his kingdom, and we will dwell with him for eternity. And I'm excited about that. And I hope you are as well. But the wicked will not have that privilege. You know what we're going to be doing as we're in the kingdom of heaven? Have you thought about this? We're going to be singing, praising, and worshiping God. That's what we're going to be doing. But I want you to think about something. We have a hard time right now singing and praising God. I don't know if you realize it, but we do it half-heartedly sometimes. We don't put our whole heart, soul, and mind into it. And I often wonder, why are people so depressed? Why are we just singing, oh, what a day that will be. Well, my Jesus, I shall see. Yada, yada, yada. He is able to deliver me. Hopefully he delivers me before 7 o'clock. You know, think about that. Even though we're not in his kingdom, we're still in his presence. Why? Because we've accepted him as the Lord and Savior. And so even now, we should be rejoicing full-heartedly. And I don't care what your joyful sound is to the Lord, we need to be making a joyful sound to the Lord. You know, I have been in churches, I kid you not, that are half our size. And I'm not saying this to put our church down by any way, shape, or form. But I've been in churches where there's only 30 or 40 people, and they sing as if there's 30,000 people. I'm not kidding you. Why? Because they're experiencing and they're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, because they have realized that they've been saved from hell and they're going to be in his presence, and they're singing as if Jesus is right here. Folks, Open Door Baptist Church, we need to be singing that way. Amen? We have a problem if we come in here and don't even lift our voices. I don't even know why I got off on that, because that wasn't even in any of my notes this evening. But as we go into heaven, into his kingdom, we're going to be worshiping and praising Jesus forever. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. Amen. But the wicked will live. Here's some sad news right now. Even though the just will be experiencing this, the wicked will live eternally in hell. I'm going to paint a picture that might be a little graphic, but I believe we need to be graphic sometimes, especially when it comes to hell. The wicked will live eternally in hell, constantly being in torment with the flames of hell raging about their bodies. And as that brings that torment, they'll be screaming in anguish, and their bodies will be in great pain for all of eternity. And here's the sad thing. There's no escape. See, Jesus gave him that opportunity. Jesus created this net where it went into the seas of the earth, and it was to capture every soul, every individual. Some wanted, some didn't want. And the ones who didn't want, their destination was hell. So why the wicked? Because while in the net that Jesus cast down, we were all given a choice. That choice was either to accept Jesus, or we also had the choice to reject him. This is why there is a separation between the wicked and the just. I can't even begin to imagine the look on the face of Jesus as he begins to sift through that net. You've accepted me. You did not. Depart from me. I never knew you. His own creation. The sadness that might be there, the emptiness, if I can say that word, that might be there on his face. As he has to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Jesus has tried so very hard to know everyone on this earth, but some reject the love. Some reject his grace. Some reject his mercies that was offered to them. Some have rejected his safety, and they choose to foolishly choose their own fate. Church, here is where we come in. God has drafted us to be a help in this area. And he has given us all a net from his kingdom to help catch the souls of men. I hope you never get tired of sermons about trying to be a witness to this world. If we do, then we have a serious problem. But God has given us that net to help catch the souls of men. I can't encourage you enough not to enter into heaven without even putting your net to use. If it does return empty, you can't blame the church, you can't blame others, because you too are a product of your own choice. Just like the ones who rejected Christ. Here is why this happens. Because you are fishing for yourself, and what it really comes down to is you have allowed yourself to get caught by the schemes of the devil. Just as Jesus throws his net out to deliver souls, Satan's thrown his net out to capture souls to take with him. And people, we really need to see the importance of being a witness to this world. And I hope that we take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. Literally, people are dying every single day. I can't even begin to think of the number that's in my head right now of how many people, since the time that we met here at 6 o'clock tonight or 5:15, how many people have already went out into eternity. Some have went into eternity, into the presence of the Lord. Some have went into hell. And the reason why people are going to hell, it's not just their fault of rejecting, folks. It's our fault of not telling. I believe the biggest crime that's being done right now in churches today is silence. We live in a world where everybody's speaking their own minds now. And they're saying things that offend us. And here's what we're doing. We're closing our mouth. And our silence is sending people to hell. God gave you feet. God gave you a mind. God gave you eyes. God gave you a mouth to use those things. Our feet will direct us to the path that he wants us to go. Our mind will give us the ability to say the things that we need to say because God is working in us. Our eyes give us the vision to see the people, to see the world where we need to go. And our mouth allows us to speak the truth of God's word. Those are some things that God has given every single one of us. And unfortunately, not every one of us is applying those things. And we need to apply those things. Why? Time's short. I'm never going to get tired of saying this. Time's short. How short it is, I don't know. But I do know time's short. I do know that it's shorter now than when I was a kid. Man, I'm almost 50 years of age now. You know what I'm thinking, what time short is now? I'm thinking, man, I've really only got about 25 years of living if God gives me that. That's how short time is. 20 years, 25 years goes by quick. Especially when your kids get out of the house and grandkids come in. And I'm not trying to hurry anybody to death. Don't think that. But time is short. We're here just for a season. Life is nothing but a vapor. And we need to take advantage of it. Amen? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. And don't forget, I have a meeting real quick with our security team. We'll do that up here. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for that heavenly net that you designed to catch the souls of men. Lord, I'm thankful today, even though I fought, Lord, even though I rebelled, even though I rejected at times, I thank you for not giving up on me. I thank you, Lord, for not giving up on the folks that are in here. But Lord, I pray as we go forth from here tonight that you would bring people into our lives this week to help us to give them the gospel message that Jesus saves and that Jesus loves them. We thank you for all that's been said and done today, and we ask it in your name. Amen. Worthless. We can feel as if there's no way out, but we know that through it all, God's been good. And we thank you for that. And we love you tonight again because you first loved us. In your name, amen. Well, it is good to be here. We're going to call this Hooked. Tonight we're going to be dealing with the kingdom net. And so we're going to take a few weeks to look at this. The focus is going to be to show us the importance of not just filling our nets, but filling the kingdom net. The second week, I'm going to give you just a little bit of hint what we're going to be focused on. The second week, we'll focus on who to follow. We got to follow somebody, right? And who we're going to follow, that's going to be Jesus Christ. And then the third week, we're going to focus on going to the ends of the earth. And we're going to have hopefully a lot of fun with this. Without a doubt, when you use the word fishing, a majority of men's ears perk up. I mean, it's just like you got their attention right away. And we've all probably been fishing at some point in time in our life, whether it's been with our grandfather or our father or even our siblings. We've been there. We've had some good times. And we all have come away with some good fishing stories. And we've come away with something that we can brag about. We've come away with some stories that we shouldn't brag about. But that's the fact of the matter. We do these things. And I look forward to having that time of bonding as you're on the lake, the shores, wherever you're at fishing. It's just a great time. So men enjoy the thrill of catching a fish. And so do a majority of women as well. They enjoy catching a fish. I'm going to throw something out to you that you might find very astounding. In the United States alone, we spend around $45 billion a year in the fishing industry. $45 billion, think about that. That is a lot of money. In the state of Texas, in the state of Florida, and in the state of California, those three states alone almost have about $4.2 billion spent in fishing, and rightfully so, because they are bigger states, they have more fishing spots, they have the seas around them as well, and so they spend that much money. It isn't very hard, as you begin to think about this, to spend that money when it comes to fishing, because when it comes to fishing, you want to find and you want to buy the right equipment for the type of fish that you're going for. We're not talking fishing with a net right now. We're talking about going out, you're going to buy a rod and reel, and you're going to buy some lures and some jigs, and you're going to buy those things, and you're going to cast those out, and you're doing that for one specific fish. I have seen rods, I kid you not, I've seen rods, and I've seen reels that sell up, you ready for this? To about $10,000 a piece. Some men have some money wrapped up in their equipment. And they do this because of where they're going fishing. Some will even spend more on getting the right boat, so you can add those costs will continue to add up. I've seen boats go from $10,000 all the way up to $50,000. And I'm not talking about yachts. I'm just talking about simple little fishing boats, bass boats, whatever you want to call those things. And many men and many women will put themselves in great debt to go out and to be able to enjoy a sport that they love doing. But we all go to any extreme and will have any cost, we'll spend anything to enjoy the pleasures of this world. In fact, I will say this. I know parents, and I'm not talking just about fishing here. I'm going to shift here just a little bit. I'm not going to dwell on it too long. I know parents who have their kids in sports, and with the sports today, they travel quite frequently. And as they begin to travel, some parents will spend an average of $20,000 a year. You think about that. That's an investment that they're putting towards their kids. That's a lot of cost. Now, you take our inflation today at 8.5%, and you take our gas, that's almost $6 a gallon. You take our hotel rates. Well, I heard our hotel rates went up 42.5% in this past year. Costs have gone up. So just imagine $20,000 now being $26,000, $27,000 in those costs. And so we'll go to any extreme to fulfill our pleasures that we desire to do. But all of this is done to fulfill not God's pleasures, but this is done to fulfill our earthly pleasures. And by the way, let me say this. I have nothing against those things. I enjoy fishing. I think it's a good time for any man to get out there and just to get away from some things and just to be able to think a little bit more clear as his mind's on the catching some fish. I have nothing against sport. I love sports. I enjoy playing basketball. I enjoy playing golf now more than I ever have in my life. So I'm not against those things. So I want you to understand that. But what I am against when it comes to those things, when it takes you away from the house of God, that's what I'm against. Think about this. You know that I'm supposed to be here preaching this morning and preaching tonight and Wednesday night. But how would you feel if, for some reason, you found out I'm on the golf course just here south of town when it comes to service time? You'd be a little bit upset, wouldn't you? Well, yeah, because I'm putting my pleasures, I'm putting my needs above God's. And so I do have a problem when it takes us away from the house of God. When you think about it, we don't get trophies in heaven when it comes to catching the biggest fish. We don't get trophies in heaven when it comes to the home run that was hit at a baseball game. We don't get trophies in heaven when it comes to the touchdowns that won the football game. We don't get trophy for those things. But we do get trophies, we do get awards for something else. And what is that? That award that we get in heaven is an award when we go out and when we begin to win souls for Christ. That's what we get our awards for. That is something that every believer should be striving to live for. And that's something that will go down into eternity. We'll forget about the fish, we'll forget about the home runs, we'll forget about the touchdowns. But we won't forget about the soul that was on its way to hell, and we had an impact in their life, and were able to give them the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and they were able to see their sin and what their sin was doing to them, and they were able to call upon God Almighty to save their soul, and now because of that, they're in the presence of the Lord with you as well. And you will receive an award for that. The great thing about that is you receive that award, here's what we're going to do. Naturally, we like to get our awards, do we not, and put them on display. Some of those things will collect dust for months. Some of them will collect dust for years. But here's an award that we will not put on our shelves. We will give those back to God. Why? Because we don't deserve them. We realize God deserves them more than we do. So the award that we will receive will be the souls that we have won to Christ while on earth. Unfortunately, those achievements that we have been talking about here recently are off in the distance for some because it hasn't even been on your radar. You haven't even focused upon it. You haven't even gone out of your way to be a witness to somebody. So those achievements are off in the distance, mainly because maybe we haven't trained for it, maybe because we haven't prepared ourselves to go in and to be able to give somebody the message of Jesus Christ. Those achievements are off in a distance. Why? Because we're focused on other types of fishing. We're not focused on fishing for men, for God. We're focused on other types of fishing. There are probably many people who will enter into heaven, think about this, with a net that has never been opened. Upon your salvation, when Jesus saves you, you have a whole different outlook in life. And that outlook in life should be, hey, now that my soul's been saved, now I need to shift focus onto somebody else. And I know that we don't pass this out, but there is a net that is given to you so that you can go out and that you can gather every man, woman, and child that you come in contact with. But unfortunately, some will enter into heaven never opening that gift. Sure, there might be some great preachers, there might be some great teachers out there, some great evangelists who have never won any souls because they never opened up their net. And so we need to open up the net that God has given us so that we can bring people with us to heaven. Amen to that. But unfortunately, it's still in the package. Here's your gift for accepting Jesus Christ. Here's your package. Here's your Bible. Here's how you need to live your life. Here's your discipleship book. And by the way, here's your net that you need to go out and distribute. But some of those things are just left in the gift basket. I hope through this series that through this, that our eyes will be open to the fishing that God has called us to. Hopefully, we all can examine what our true motives are, and does it show, when it comes to our true motives, that we are fishing not for ourselves, but we are fishing for Jesus. A net has been given to us, and we need to go out into this world and get as many fish as possible. The last few months, I've watched a show about Texas game wardens. And some of you folks probably know what I'm talking about here. And I get lost in those shows. Because and I'm not talking about what's going on here. I'm not talking about that type of lost. I become involved with how they handle things and what they're up against on a daily basis. And I've learned a lot from these things as I'm going through this. But I've noticed when it comes to fishing, if the fishermen don't follow the rules, here's what takes place. They will throw back what they caught back into the water. They're not allowed to take it home with them. Why? Because they're fishing illegally. And most of the times they're fishing without a license. I will tell you this tonight. If you're a child of God, you have a fishing license. And it doesn't expire. It's a lifetime license. And it's a license that we have to put to use. I will say this. As they're throwing their fish back because they're fishing illegally, we need to learn how to fish, folks. Amen? We need to get off of our hind end and go out there and fish. So as I look through this, some will also use a net. A few weeks ago, Jeff and I were able to see the skill of a person using a net from a boat. Now, some people do it differently. Some will get a net and they'll throw it out to the water. Some will get a big net and they'll drag it behind the boat and they'll do a big circle and they'll let that sit there for a while and then they'll come back and begin to drag it up on the boat. And as they drag it up onto the boat, sometimes fish will come in there. I saw this gentleman. He's a cool little guy and had a lot of energy with him, didn't he? He had a lot of energy. And he did something else towards the end that I didn't really care for. He got us all involved in a little Jewish dance. And if you want to have something to laugh about, you should have seen Jeff and I doing this thing. But anyway, he wanted to demonstrate to us as we're out on the Sea of Galilee what it was like back in that time as they're fishing with nets. And so he threw this thing out there, and I was waiting with anticipation. I don't know how you were waiting, but I was just like, man, I hope that he's able to bring some fish up. But as he threw that out there, I mean, he just let it go down. He didn't really let it sit there for a while, but he brought that thing back up, and it was empty. But I was hoping that the net would have been full, but it was not. Verse number 47, it talks about how heaven is like a net and is cast into the sea. This heavenly net was wanting to catch everything that came near it. There wasn't a person that was going to be left out. This net was designed specifically for what? To catch the souls of man. That's what it was designed to do. Jesus, being the greatest angler of all time, knew that every soul was precious to him. But he also knew not every fish or every soul wanted to be with him. This net also had some other designs with it. It would go into some of the scariest places. I don't know if you folks have been out on sea. I haven't had the privilege to. I've been in the ocean, but just in the Gulf part of it. I've never been far out like a lot of people have. But I do know the depths of the ocean are just insane. I seen a free diver just the other day. He dove, I believe, 437 meters. And I watched him as he began to go down into the water. As the light was right there, you can see people around him still as he's just beginning to descend into the depths of the water. The further on he went down, the darker it became. Do you know Jesus designed his net to go into the darkest places? Places that you and I will not even think about going to. Why? Because every soul is precious to him. Every person that he created is precious. Not only would he go into the scariest places, not only would it go into the darkest places, but he would also go into the places that would seem unreachable. Do you realize tonight, you and I, we put limits on God without realizing it? We truly do. We don't go to places because we don't think God's going to work. We don't think God's going to bless. But God reaches the places that seem unreachable to us. And with that being said, you and I, we must be willing to go to those scary places, to go to those dark places, to go to those places that might seem unreachable at times. And remember, we're not using our own personal net, we're using the heavenly net that God designed for this purpose. And he's allowed us to be a part in this. So when fishermen use a net, when they drag it to the shore, here's what happens, because I've seen this take place many times. They will separate, as it says in Scripture, the good from the bad. As a fisherman, when they cast that net out, they will obviously have some fish in there, but there's some rules that apply to these things. Some fish have to be a certain length. And if they're not the certain length, then they got to throw them back. Not only is that the same with fish, but it's the same with the crab. And so there's some work that takes place. And so as that net's drawn from the shore, they will separate the good, or we should say the legal from the illegal. But here, I want us to focus on something. There would be some legal fish and there would be some illegal fish. Even though they were caught legally, the fishermen would have to release them. This also is very, when you think about this, as a fisherman, especially when this is your livelihood, when you catch an abundance of fish and you have nothing but illegal ones on there, you got to throw them back. And this discourages them. The same would be done for the kingdom net. When Jesus cast it down, I want to paint a picture for you. When Jesus cast this heavenly net down from the shores of heaven into the seas of the earth, and when that net was dragged back, here's what would have to take place. He too would have to do some separating. This fisherman separates the good from the bad, but here is a different picture. Jesus separates the wicked from the just. We see in Scripture that the angels take part in this. I want you to look at a word here. It's found in verse number 49. It says, "So shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." Look at the word sever. It literally means to divide by a few processes. One, by cutting. Two, by slicing. Or three, with sudden force. They would come and sever. But it also has a different meaning as well. It also means to put an end to break off a relationship. It sounds strange, yes, but Jesus has persuaded every person on earth to have a relationship with them. That's been his whole goal as he came forth into this world. To have a relationship with the people of this world. But unfortunately, not everybody seeks to have a relationship with God. We see that in lives all around us. We work with them. We go to the grocery stores with them. They're at the ball games. We see them everywhere. Not everybody desires to have a relationship with him, but he desires to have a relationship with him. He even says so because he created this net to catch them. Jesus creates a very real picture of what is going to happen to the just and the wicked. Here's what takes place. The just are set aside where? They're set aside into his arms of safety. So, on the 25th of April, 1986, Jesus caught me. And now, when it comes time for that separation, I'm not going to be among the wicked. Because of his blood shed for me, he now sees me as righteous, he now sees me as good, and now he sets me aside, he takes us away from the wicked, and now we're placed into his arms of safety. And as we're placed into his arms of safety, there will be no harm that will come our way. I'm thankful for that. Why won't there be any harm come our way as we're separated? For this reason. Because of his grace and mercy. At that point in time, we're experiencing his grace and mercy. And not only just then, but we experience his grace and mercy even before then. And I hope you realize those things. The wicked, however, will face a future that only consists of one thing. And what is that? That one thing will consist of eternal torment. The just will live eternally in the kingdom of heaven. That is our future home. We have been caught by the net. We have been captured to safety. And from being captured to safety, he has placed us in his kingdom, and we will dwell with him for eternity. And I'm excited about that. And I hope you are as well. But the wicked will not have that privilege. You know what we're going to be doing as we're in the kingdom of heaven? Have you thought about this? We're going to be singing, praising, and worshiping God. That's what we're going to be doing. But I want you to think about something. We have a hard time right now singing and praising God. I don't know if you realize it, but we do it half-heartedly sometimes. We don't put our whole heart, soul, and mind into it. And I often wonder, why are people so depressed? Why are we just singing, oh, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, yada, 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 he is able to deliver me, hopefully he delivers me before 7 o'clock. You know, think about that. Even though we're not in his kingdom, we're still in his presence. Why? Because we've accepted him as the Lord and Savior. And so even now, we should be rejoicing full-heartedly. And I don't care what your joyful sound is to the Lord, we need to be making a joyful sound to the Lord. You know, I've been in churches, I kid you not, that are half our size. And I'm not saying this to put our church down by any way, shape, or form. But I've been in churches where there's only 30 or 40 people, and they sing as if there's 30,000 people. And I'm not kidding you. Why? Because they're experiencing and they're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ because they have realized that they've been saved from hell and they're going to be in his presence, and they're singing as if Jesus is right here. Folks, Open Door Baptist Church, we need to be singing that way. Amen? We have a problem if we come in here and don't even lift our voices. I don't even know why I got off on that, because that wasn't even in any of my notes this evening. But as we go into heaven, into his kingdom, we're going to be worshiping and praising Jesus forever. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. Amen. But the wicked will live. Here's some sad news right now. Even though the just will be experiencing this, the wicked will live eternally in hell. I'm going to paint a picture that might be a little graphic, but I believe we need to be graphic sometimes, especially when it comes to hell. The wicked will live eternally in hell, constantly being in torment with the flames of hell raging about their bodies. And as that brings that torment, they'll be screaming in anguish, and their bodies will be in great pain for all of eternity. And here's the sad thing. There's no escape. See, Jesus gave them that opportunity. Jesus created this net where it went into the seas of the earth, and it was to capture every soul, every individual. Some wanted, some didn't want. And the ones who didn't want, their destination was hell. So why the wicked? Because while in the net that Jesus cast down, we were all given a choice. That choice was either to accept Jesus, or we also had the choice to reject him. This is why there is a separation between the wicked and the just. I can't even begin to imagine the look on the face of Jesus as he begins to sift through that net. You've accepted me. You did not. Depart from me. I never knew you. His own creation. The sadness that might be there, the emptiness, if I can say that word, that might be there on his face as he has to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Jesus has tried so very hard to know everyone on this earth, but some reject the love. Some reject his grace. Some reject his mercies that was offered to them. Some have rejected his safety, and they choose to foolishly choose their own fate. Church, here is where we come in. God has drafted us to be a help in this area. And he has given us all a net from his kingdom to help catch the souls of men. I hope you never get tired of sermons about trying to be a witness to this world. If we do, then we have a serious problem. But God has given us that net to help catch the souls of men. I can't encourage you enough not to enter into heaven without even putting your net to use. If it does return empty, you can't blame the church, you can't blame others, because you too are a product of your own choice. Just like the ones who rejected Christ. Here is why this happens. Because you are fishing for yourself, and what it really comes down to is you have allowed yourself to get caught by the schemes of the devil. Just as Jesus throws his net out to deliver souls, Satan's thrown his net out to capture souls to take with him. And people, we really need to see the importance of being a witness to this world. And I hope that we take advantage of every opportunity that God gives us. Literally, people are dying every single day. I can't even begin to think of the number that's in my head right now of how many people, since the time that we met here at 6 o'clock tonight or 5:15, how many people have already went out into eternity. Some have went into eternity, into the presence of the Lord. Some have went into hell. And the reason why people are going to hell, it's not just their fault of rejecting, folks. It's our fault of not telling. I believe the biggest crime that's being done right now in churches today is silence. We live in a world where everybody's speaking their own minds now. And they're saying things that offend us. And here's what we're doing. We're closing our mouth. And our silence is sending people to hell. God gave you feet, God gave you mind, God gave you eyes, God gave you mouth to use those things. Our feet will direct us to the path that he wants us to go. Our mind will give us the ability to say the things that we need to say because God is working in us. Our eyes give us the vision to see the people, to see the world where we need to go. And our mouth allows us to speak the truth of God's word. Those are some things that God has given every single one of us. And unfortunately, not every one of us is applying those things. And we need to apply those things. Why? Time's short. I'm never going to get tired of saying this. Time's short. How short it is, I don't know. But I do know time's short. I do know that it's shorter now than when I was a kid. Man, I'm almost 50 years of age now. You know what I'm thinking, what time short is now? I'm thinking, man, I've really only got about 25 years of living if God gives me that. That's how short time is. 20 years, 25 years goes by quick. Especially when your kids get out of the house and grandkids come in. And I'm not trying to hurry anybody to death. Don't think that. But time is short. We're here just for a season. Life is nothing but a vapor. And we need to take advantage of it. Amen? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. And don't forget, I have a meeting real quick with our security team. We'll do that up here. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for that heavenly net that you designed to catch the souls of men. Lord, I'm thankful today, even though I fought, Lord, even though I rebelled, even though I rejected at times, I thank you for not giving up on me. I thank you, Lord, for not giving up on the folks that are in here. But Lord, I pray as we go forth from here tonight that you would bring people into our lives this week to help us to give them the gospel message that Jesus saves and that Jesus loves them. We thank you for all that's been said and done today, and we ask it in your name. Amen.